Again, thank you for your precious word to us. And may each soul here in this room reach out as you heal and touch and deliver. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're well in our teaching now over the next few months. And the title of this is Deliverance by Faith. And we are dealing with various aspects that we believe the Holy Spirit has shown us with regards to healing and deliverance. And it's very interesting that, the enemy just seems to get very subtle in how he tries to work and attack, particularly when there is healing and deliverance coming. And it just encourages me to press on by faith more determinedly to see God's name glorified and to see the captives set free. But we're dealing with religious spirits, and I've been addressing this now for the last 2 weeks, and we've been covering a number of areas, and I believe the Lord is starting with this area, dealing with religious mindsets, religious spirits, because we have to get those removed sometimes to be actually delivered and set free. I think, as the Lord showed me as I was preparing this, that a lot of times there hasn't always been that deliverance because we've approached it too religiously. And if we approach anything too religiously, there's not faith there. Because faith is the principle, faith is the key in order to get healed and delivered. And sometimes faith has not operated, sometimes faith has been hindered because we have a religious approach towards God and what He wants to do. So this is why I'm dealing with religious areas that God is still honing in. And remember, we're basing this from Colossians chapter 2, where it deals about in blotting out the handwriting of ordinances and Christ nailing all these things on the cross, religious observances, festivities, everything is nailed upon the cross. He fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, yet the law is still most holy. And we are not to come into bondage to any of these things. And then he deals against Gnosticism, false mysticism, false revelations that were coming out in those early days. And he was dealing with groups that started to get into cliques and to cults and started to savour certain ways and traditions. All these things that we have so prevalent today. He says that Christ nailed the whole lot upon the cross. And man loves to be religious. He loves to show people that he is different from the rest. That there is something special about him. And that's, of course, why you have your priesthood today that's robed up to the nines. And man looks for anything just to look different and to try and show off to his next door neighbour that there's something special about him against somebody else. Well, of course, God says that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And God calls us, as His children, to appear last in this life. And we do at times. We are not out to try and promote or to show anything. It's the way we live, it's the way we conduct ourselves, the way we come over. But nevertheless, we do have a lot of professing Christendom nowadays that's bound in religious mindsets. And these are spirits that work. And they're very subtle in which way they can work. But we equally find that maybe where we have picked up wrong things or where we are oppressed in a religious way, one of the things I find is that it's not always easy for Christians to get delivered. And I'll tell you why. Because these spirits suggest to you that if you renounce this or get rid of this, you won't make it into the kingdom of heaven. And they work by fear. That's one of the ways they work. They work by fear. And they suggest to you, well, if you change your way in this, or you don't do this, there's no guarantee you're going to make it into the kingdom of God. So that's why so many professing Christians, because they have fears in them, they hold on to these religious ways. Because the thought of getting rid of them, they won't make it in. And they've been subtly told that, you'll be damned. Well, of course, God is setting us free. He's sending us free from foods. Everything is blessed if you pray over it. You can eat anything you like, for it is blessed.
And he's getting rid of all forms of legalism. That's why we're not in bondage to Easter and to chocolate eggs and to Christmas and all these things that so many Christians are bound to. We're not bound to the Sabbath. For every day that is a Sabbath to us. We've been dealing with just some of these things, haven't we? And there are many that try to spiritualize the scriptures. And I think this is something that's become very prevalent in this last generation. It's a form of Gnosticism again. But everybody's out looking for a new revelation. Have you noticed that? It's the in thing to have a new revelation. You're with it. If you're in with that new revelation and teaching. And there's something wrong with you. If you don't embrace it, if you find it doesn't line up with the Word of God. In fact, to live the way of God's Word and to hold on to this Word, you are regarded nowadays as old-fashioned as a Christian. Did you know that? There's supposed to be a trendy movement today in our circles where you're supposed to be trendy. You're with it. You're liberal. You're up to date with God. After all, God is on the move. You mustn't get left behind, you know? And no consideration to what God says. And they're queuing up for new revelations and they're seducing spirits. And sadly, there are a lot of seducing spirits that are being propagated over pulpits nowadays. They're very, very subtle the way they work. Suggest a little bit of truth, but they mix with it the poison. And that creates confusion, you see. Well, we're going to cover a lot of those things, but we certainly have been opening this up. But I want to continue this morning, and I want to hone in on further areas with regards to religious spirits. And remember that this is deliverance by faith. It's not by feelings you get delivered. It's by God showing you and reaching out as he touches your heart and your spirit. But I want to raise up another question this morning. We must be careful that religious spirits don't start working when we deliver forth a testimony. Now, we all encourage in this church testimonies. But testimonies are not to become religious. Testimonies are merely a testimony of what the Lord has done in your life, whether it's a healing or a blessing or whatever it is. It is not the license to start giving a sermon. A testimony is merely just sharing with what God has done. Yet I still hear at times where maybe there is a testimony and there is a blessing behind that testimony, but the whole thing's lost. Because either you started teaching in it, or you have gone off on something else that maybe is not totally associated with the testimony anyway, and you've gone all round and come back. And by that time, people have lost what the testimony was all about. Now, I detect sometimes behind that there's still a religious way about it. There's nothing religious about testimonies. If you feel led of the Lord, just share a testimony. Well, praise God, you know, he healed me last week. I was going through a trial, but God was faithful. We don't need to go through all the ins and outs and all the gory details. Just God was faithful. Or I've been believing now for 3 months and God met me at the level of my faith, or he was dealing with me in a certain area, or he had to remove this hindrance before I could get healed or delivered. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Because it doesn't edify. One loses what God has really done. And yet I detect sometimes it's still a religious understanding behind it. Maybe some of us are not so good at speaking out. Sometimes the enemy tries to get in and confuse. Well, sometimes you may have need of binding that confusion before you speak out. So that it comes out with clarity, with diction. Because God is not a God of confusion. He's a God of order, you see. And so when we give testimonies, make sure that God wants you to give that testimony. Because sometimes there are testimonies that come in this church that really are not necessary. Now, it's not to say that testimonies don't have their place. But to me, a testimony is something that God has specifically done. And it's to edify. It's to be encouraged by. It's maybe to help others who may be going through similar situations, you see. And we don't want to hear testimonies of where, you know, you're walking the street and you bumped into so-and-so which you hadn't seen for 10 years, and oh, what a blessing it was. Well, praise the Lord, but that happens to the world. I mean, there's nothing special about bumping into so-and-so you haven't seen for 10 years. You know? Now, it might be different if God has burdened you for that person and you found yourself praying and interceding and you haven't seen them for 10 years, and that, you know, you've been praying and believing and just praying that burden through, and within a week later you meet that very person that you haven't seen for 10 years. Now, to me, there is something special about that. That edifies. There is something supernatural. Do you see what I'm saying? But there are some things that we don't need to share, because that goes on in the world, or it goes on in the family, or whatever. So we must be careful when we give testimonies. And we're not trying to put them down, because we encourage to give testimonies. But make sure that the contents of that testimony is edifying and building and so forth. It's very important. Very important. And I want to lead on to this, of where we can find there can be religious repetition. Religious repetition. Now, I have heard this at times where it can go on. And sometimes you can find some people have this problem of being repetitious in what they do. I'll give you an example. You can come to a meeting and it's pretty guaranteed that you know who's going to pray. Every meeting, it's that same person, and it's the same thing that they say. Now, there's something wrong if that goes on. I detect that there is something religious behind that. Now, we're all to pray, I'm all to encourage and exhort. And that can apply equally with the operation of the gifts. Let's take prophesying, or whatever it is. There is something wrong in a church when you've got the same person always prophesying. There's something wrong. Because God says in his word, he gives the gifts severally as he wills. And most can prophesy. Yet some, I know, have a leading towards that. Yet one must be sensitive. I could come to every meeting and I could prophesy. I can. Because I have the faith for it. But I choose not to do it, because it doesn't always edify. Do you see? And I'm very aware that there can be religious repetition. I mean, you go to your denominations and you will hear on Sunday morning religious repetition. They have all their set prayers, whether said or chanted. You have the Apostles' Creed, which is either said or chanted. You can guarantee the prayers that will be incorporated in the prayer book. Now, that's a religious spirit behind that. Repetition. Or they may ask a family to come up and read out a few prayers, which just gives a little bit of variation. But that's all you would get. I know, because I've come out of all of that. And you know something? Sometimes they used to ask me if I would pray. And do you know what they used to say sometimes afterwards? You read that so eloquently. I thought to myself, well, you know, you get puffed up during that time. But when I got saved and somebody said you read that so eloquently, I thought to myself, that's not what prayer is about. Not reading something eloquently or beautifully read, or you've got a lovely speaking voice. It's the contents of what is in that prayer. It's what comes out of the heart, you see. And so one gets this religious, repetitious praying. And you know, we can take that over with us into the charismatic movement. And you will find that there are still some who are repetitious in their praying. It must be led by the Holy Spirit, anointed, inspired. So it builds and it uplifts and encourages. And again, we all encourage to pray, you see. But one must be very sensitive. Or another area I want to touch on that I have detected that has gone on in times in our circles. And that is a particular type of chorus singing. In the past, I believe we went through a period where we could only be uplifted or encouraged by a particular type of sound in choruses. And they had to have the sort of words that were positive. They had to have the blood, they had to have faith, they got to have overcoming and so forth. Now, I'm all for that, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong, I'm all for that. But it came to a point that every chorus, one after the other, after the other, after the other, was all that was. And it was all the same type of sound, movement, beat. And it seemed as though we couldn't accept that God also moves in different tempos and rhythms. And praise God, we've seen a change in this. But I do want to say that when we are in worship sometimes, I'm very aware when we are breaking through that sometimes there is a particular chorus that the Holy Spirit anoints for that meeting, for that evening, that He wants us to sing and sing and sing and sing and sing till you're through. I don't know how it works, how He does it, I just know that sometimes there's something beautiful coming through that. You know? And it doesn't matter if you sing it 6 times. God is breaking through in that particular chorus. Those words in that chorus minister to Him. Not to us, to Him. It's very important. And we must be sensitive the way we are worshipping the Lord. We don't get in a set routine. It seemed years back that all you ever done, you weren't to sing choruses any more than 2 times. 3 times at the most. Now, where's this all come from? It's still a religious way. Now, sometimes it may be only right to sing choruses 2, but it might be right to sing a chorus 10 times, because God wants to speak through that. You see? I'm just saying that, you know, we can become religious as free as we are. You know? Chorus. Prayer. Chorus. Or whatever it is. I mean, it's over to you a lot of it as well. It's not just the song leader. It's the way we enter in. It's the way open we are and sensitive, you see. Sometimes God may want a period where it's quiet. Because he's speaking. He's going to say something, you see. And we have to be very, very careful with this. Maybe it's right to open up for a time of prayer and intercession in the meeting. Where God wants to burden and open up in prayer over various things, you see. And again, you must be careful when we pray. Because we can be repetitious in our praying. We pray the same old thing week after week. The Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. And God doesn't want the same people praying the same thing week after week after week. Because you are starting to open yourself up to a religious way and approach. It doesn't edify, it doesn't build. I mean, yes, there are certain things that God wants us to pray through, and we most certainly are. We most certainly are. But do watch this, friends. I mean, thank God we don't have prayer lists in this church. Because a lot of churches have prayer lists. And as I've said, you know, at times it's so sad. But the only way it seems that people get off those prayer lists, particularly if it's healing, is when they die. You know? And I know, I've come out of that. I used to belong to prayer groups. And every week we had our prayer list, and we had 10, then we had 15, then we had 25, and the prayer time went on longer and longer. I got to the point, I dreaded it. I dreaded it. And you're praying for Mrs. So-and-so's bunions? Somebody had lost their right toenail or whatever it was, you know? That was prayerless, that's repetition. It's religious. Again, we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. God can just burden us for something or someone or whatever it is and let the Holy Spirit move. Now, I just want to say at this point that sometimes in prayer, or if a word of knowledge comes through, or to pray for a situation, sometimes God may put those symptoms spiritually upon one. Now, many times I pray for people for migraine, and I know he wants me to pray for that because I feel that working right there. It's not causing me to become oppressed. I'm just aware in the spiritual realm that there is healing for, say, migraine. Or, say, arthritis. Sometimes there can be an anointing for arthritis, and you can actually pick up the symptom spiritually within your body. But there are many other times you don't. Or maybe that is to pray through a situation. You see, we don't always understand the manifestations of the Spirit. And so we must remain open to pray through a situation, or whatever it would be, you see. Other times, you don't. Many times one doesn't. Many times you just feel a burden to pray, or to pray for someone, or someone's going through a battle or trial or whatever it is. Then we pray it through. Pray it through, you see. So that we're free and open as the Lord leads. Amen. So watch this religious repetition. It's very subtle and it can come out in the most subtlest ways and forms. I want to deal just a little with denominational spirits now. I want to go back to this because all denominations are spirits. They are a principality over a church or a lot of even God's people that control. It controls the service. It controls everything. And it works through man. And often it's worked through a so-called priesthood that's been elected. But I want to just hone in on a few things. Now, I believe that denominational spirits and denominations are guilty, and it will be revealed in the Day of Judgment, but they are guilty of preaching a false salvation. A false salvation. And I have noticed sometimes, even now occasionally, after years of coming out of that, there's still at times some are battling their salvation. Now, they may not be intentionally saying, oh, I'm not sure whether I'm saved or not, but that it comes out in a way where you don't settle on God, on his word, and what he has said. And I find a lot of Christians still don't settle. And I've wondered why it is they can't settle on what God says. And I have had to come to the conclusion that this could still be carried over from denominational days where they teach a false salvation by works and so forth. Well, we know that we're not saved by works. Yet there is still this insecurity that can come up periodically under pressure. Why is it that after 5 years, 10 years, we can still doubt our salvation when we're right under a real test? And maybe that's been carried over by what you've listened to in denominations. Because that is a false salvation that's behind that. It's deception. Because a lot of us, really, we didn't get saved till we either came out of it or we at least heard an anointed gospel message. And so you need to examine on that area. Take, for example, the area of error. Because you've come out of error or denominationalism where there was error preached and so forth, you can carry that spirit of being deceived, which is fear, you can still carry it over even into these meetings. Where one becomes so locked in, so fearful that it will cause you to become very introverted and very narrow-minded, so that you cannot hear anything else. I'll give an example. That spirit of being deceived, which a lot of it comes out of denominationalism. Let me give you an example. There is something wrong with you if you are just so locked in to hearing the teaching of full gospel assembly and just hearing my voice, and you cannot and will not hear anything else, you may have a problem. Now, I treat this carefully, because I am not saying that you go off now and put your ears to everything that comes your way and every tape that is given to you. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you find yourself so narrow, and anybody who just says, you know, I was blessed by that teaching by brother so-and-so and so-and-so, there's a reaction immediately. Now, there's something wrong. Your reaction, the way you're going about that, the way you are reacting, is proving you have a problem. Instead of just being open and seeking the Lord as to what he says, whether you should listen to that tape or not. That's what you should do. Any tapes that outside the assembly, I'll listen to them, but I'll do one thing first. I will always give it to the Lord first and find out his opinion, what he's saying. And if I have peace about it, I feel it's right, then I relax and I will listen to it. And God gives me that discernment if there is something wrong with it. But there is something wrong with you if you can listen to nothing else but only this teaching and you react against anyone else who has a tape outside this church. Sometimes you can see people, they stiffen. And the eyes sort of, be careful. And the eyes go big and everything. And you've got a problem. That's religious. It's religious. That is a sign of being in a clique. There's signs of getting cultish, believe it or not. You see. Now, you just have to be mature and balanced about this. This is all I'm saying. All I'm saying, but you have to be careful, and this may have come over from your denominational days, after when God opened your eyes with all that you've been listening to and been deceived and everything, and God sets you free. What you open yourself to is a spirit of fear, where you say, that's it, I'm not listening to anything else, I'm just going to listen to this and this alone, and this is where I'm going to overcome, and this is where God will deal with me. You've already opened yourself up to another problem, you see? No, you don't do that. You keep balanced. Yes, let God deliver you from error, and there's enough of it. But don't be held by a spirit of fear, the fear of getting deceived. Because if you have a fear of getting deceived, I'm just going to tell you now, you are deceived. You're not free. Even if you sit under this church and listen to this message, if you have a spirit of fear of getting deceived, you can't hear what I'm saying properly. You're bound. So we've got to be balanced with this and be very, very careful. Be very careful, friends. Because you could just miss out what God is really saying, you see? Because God, as I've said many times, is a lot, lot bigger than this assembly. Infinitely bigger. Then you can get those where they have an obsession in scriptures. And I've met these people, and again, they are religious spirits, where they seem to have some revelation on something, and they've got an obsession about it. And you find when you talk to them that they've got to come back to this revelation they've had, and often works with pride anyway. I mean, I had to deal with a man a few years ago that had this obsession about Christ not totally being the Son of God, that he didn't have two natures as they show it, but that he was God in flesh. He was totally confused, but he got an absolute obsession in this. I spent 2.5 hours trying to open up the scriptures to show him where he was wrong. But it didn't matter who talked to him. It didn't matter what you say, whether you talked about faith or talked about blessing or divine healing. He would always come round to his pet doctrine. And you go away sort of, you know? And there are lots of people around like that today. They're demons that hold them. Religious demons, seducing demons. You see? In fact, I am very cautious about anybody who comes with all these revelations and so forth. I'm open, friends, don't get me wrong. But I've had a lot of it. Being in my position, I get a lot of people phone me up, or I get their writings that they've written, or their booklets and tracts and various things. I get lots and lots of it. And some of it, praise God, is a blessing, but some of it is off, to say the least. They've got an obsession. I call it a bee in their bonnet. And they nag and nag and nag away at it. And they keep with it and they won't let it rest. You see? Friends, we've got a whole revelation of God here from cover to cover. This is all about the Lord. We don't hone in on just one thing. And I'll tell you something now. And this might come as a shock to some, what I'm about to say. But you can still be religious if all you ever talk about is just faith. There is more to faith, because the Bible says that faith worketh by love. I've never yet found anyone who's obsessed with the love of God and giving out the love of God. I've never found that one yet. It's funny you don't find them around, isn't it? It's true. It's true, friends. But we've got to be balanced. I mean, if all you ever talk about is faith, we're going to get a bad name. Because the faith teaching, a lot of it that's propagated, has got a bad name. So again, we keep balance. We are interested in the full gospel, in God's word. And in the word, of course, is faith. Because we need faith to be saved and for God to move. But you can be religious in that way. And we've got today where you have people going around who've got ministries. Now, I'm all for ministries. Don't get me wrong. But your ministry is not the sole thing. And we're getting ministries coming up that just don't, to me, ring right. I've got a ministry. The Lord seems to give me a ministry of rounding up the people. I seem to have a way of just getting all the people together, you know? And organizing them. That's my ministry, you know? Or a sister may say, not that I've heard many say this, but the sister may say, my ministry is in the kitchen, cooking. Looking after the saints, providing for them, getting the tea, everything. That's my ministry, you know? Well, Martha, she didn't say that was her ministry when she had a go at Jesus about Mary, you know. She just was doing it, was happy to do it. But you don't get in the early church this idea of this is my ministry, you know? I'll even go a step further. I can't see in the scriptures a deliverance ministry. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible tells us to lay hands on the sick and to cast out demons. It says we should do that. It doesn't pick out certain individuals. Now, you may have the gift of discerning of spirits and the word of knowledge, which does help at times with deliverance. But there's no such thing as having, in that sense, a deliverance ministry. Because I have found those who do say they have a deliverance ministry, all they can see is demons. And when you're talking to them, you think to yourself, I wonder how many they've seen in me. I do. I think that sometimes I think to myself, I'd love to know what's going on in your mind. You've probably seen at least four in me. Well, it may be true. I mean, you know, praise the Lord. You know, but I have seen these people who say they have deliverance ministry, and they sit there, big eyes looking,
you know.
And it's a... Because we have a deliverance ministry. It's religious. We all have a deliverance ministry, if you did but know it. Jesus said, go and lay hands on sick and cast out demons. Now, some may be used to a certain degree in that, or he may be an evangelist, but we can all cast out demons, and I hope you all will in this church, as the Spirit leads. Because there's enough of them about out there. Believe me. As I said before, you don't have to go looking for spirits at all. And we most certainly should bind them and whatever. I'm waiting for that one to come up when somebody, I hear somewhere, somebody says, I've got a binding ministry. Well, I'll say right to them there and then I'll pray for you so that you can get relief. But I know we laugh at this, but these sort of things go on in circles. And they're religious spirits working behind it. Where they've got a binding ministry. Or whatever it is. Yes, there are. We all have a ministry, don't get me wrong. We've all got our gifts. But you don't go around and that's all you ever talk about. As though you're king of the castle. Because that's all it is. It works with pride. You see? And I'm afraid at times a lot of these books that are written on these subjects have propagated this. It's not to say that they're wrong, don't get me wrong, but you know, you say get a book on deliverance, and there's some jolly good, there are some good books. I've learned a lot from it. But I can see what people do. They take the book as the Bible, and they say, right, I've got a deliverance ministry. So here they are delivering with one hand and the book in the other hand like that. Is there work? Well, it says you should do this. It says you shouldn't stand in front of them, but at the side. It says you should have a bucket. Better get one. It says you should have a box of tissues. Well, we better get toilet paper, that's all we've got. And so it goes on, and I've seen this sort of attitude go on, and demons just laugh at it. Laugh at it. You say to me, demons don't know, they do. I remember once years back, ministering to a girl, deliverance. And she was bound up to say the least. And there was two of us, there was another brother and myself, and we were ministering deliverance. And suddenly this demon spoke right out of this woman's voice. And the demon said, I'm just saying this because this is what they can do. You're a man of God. But he's not. Just like that. Just like that. And do you know what the demon was trying to do? Was trying to create confusion. I immediately saw it and silenced it straight off. But I'm just saying, those demons know. They know, friends. So you make sure that, yes, you are in faith under that anointing. But we have all these phobias that go on today, these obsessions. And a lot of it, they get light in the scripture and they take it out of its context and that's all they can see. Praise God, he's called us, he's called me to preach a full gospel. And I get blessed by certain parts in the word, don't get me wrong. I love the book of Revelation. But God's called me to preach more than just the book of Revelation. God's called me to preach more than just the end time. And I believe we have God's end time plan. But you notice that I don't keep pounding away, week after week after week, all about the end time and God's end time plan. You see, because I'm very aware of these subtle obsessions that can start to take over, you see, and there's spirits behind them. You know, out of denominationalism comes quite often a spirit of Antichrist, that is a spirit. And that is rebellious. Where there's just that rebellion that still keeps nagging away deep down. You know, when the word of God is coming over, there's that rebellion, that rejection against it, you see? Now sometimes you've got to trace that. You've got to find where that's coming from. Maybe you have repented. Maybe you've got before the Lord and said, Lord, I'm wrong. This is wrong. I know what I'm hearing is right. Yet I still
resist it, you know? Now, maybe if you're held in that, you've got to find out what the problem is. You see, if you can see that there is a deliberate resisting against certain things that God's saying. Now, you may have brought that out from denominationism, because I'll tell you now, in denominationism, there is a spirit of Antichrist that works. It most certainly is. You've only got to read the book of Revelation where denominationism's going. You see. And so if you find that you are resisting against certain things in the Word all the time, and you've got before God, you've asked for forgiveness, yet still nags away, maybe you need deliverance. It could just be that it is actually an Antichrist spirit working, which is rebellion. That's what it is rebellion, you see. And then, of course, we get the religious pride. Religious pride. You say to me, well, praise God, I mean, there's nothing to be proud about once you get your eyes open when you're in a denomination. Well, no, there's not. But there are a lot of people who belong to denominations and are proud to be so. I mean, I was proud years ago to be an Anglican. You know, if you were a Methodist or a Congregational or Pentecost, somehow the Anglicans look down upon those. They're sort of very secondary, you know. And I know that spirit was there, and I had to be delivered from it. But you know, sometimes we can still carry that over with us, where we are proud to be part of Full Gospel Assembly. Now, it's a blessing to be part of this, don't get me wrong. But it is wrong to be proud of being part of this church. Because if you are proud, you come over aloof. You come over and make others feel inferior. Now that's wrong. That's very wrong. And you need to inquire of God how you've got hold of this, or where this has come in. And I could probably guarantee that it probably has come from denominational. Particularly if you are in the two major ones, either a Roman Catholic or an Anglican. Because they're the two that pride themselves. Particularly Roman Catholic, because Roman Catholic doctrine still believe. They don't fully come out with it, but they still say they're the only church. You see? So, if one finds that you have this air about you, well, I'm with Full Gospel Assembly, and I'm under the end time anointing and teaching, and we get the pure word of God. You know, that's wrong. That's very, very wrong. You may best have to take yourself through deliverance in that. And also out of denominationalism can come a lot of spirits of unteachableness. And that can probably work with Antichrist rebellion, where you just are unteachable. We must be teachable in every area that God is dealing with our lives. We're only teachable in the things that appeals to us, or what we can get out of it, or what we like. But we're not so teachable when God hones in areas that, let's face it, we don't want to get rid of. And sometimes if you find that there is a sequence of this moving, and you find it comes up periodically, you find under certain situations, certain conditions, it could just be that you have brought that in from denominationalism. And it can be held by rebellion and Antichrist, where it's just unteachable. You just don't listen, won't listen, will not cooperate, you see. Even though it may be brought out from the Word, you can see it so clear. Yet there's that resistance against it. Now you have to watch this. You've got to look and examine yourself and say, do I see that come up periodically? Do I see it come up in a certain way? Because it may just be that God's trying to hone in to get you delivered from that. Because if there's unteachableness, you cannot embrace the whole counsel of God's word. You can't. Unteachable spirits stop you from receiving all of God's word. That's their nature. That's the way they work. You see. And dealing with denominationalism, finally in this area, as I believe the Lord showed me, there are those spirits that like to debate and argue. They're argumentative about the word. It's very subtle. They may be good with words and wrapping it all up, but underneath it there's an argumentativeness. And again, that can come right out of denominationalism, you see. Liberalism, a form of arguing, debating, you know. And at times we all have to watch this, but maybe you see that coming up periodically. Maybe you see that you argue with certain people. Sometimes when you're in ministry, when you have a word ministry, I know this from experience, you can quite often have that spirit trying to attack you. It's argumentative. And it comes up periodically and it's trying to put over or trying to be clever in trying to put you down or whatever it will be. And it's just provoking, it's argumentative, debating about the scriptures. They know full well what the scriptures say. But somehow we're just not, you know, I'm going to put my view over, you see. None of us put our view over at all. We have no views in that sense. You must be very, very careful. If you find somebody is argumentative, it's best just to keep quiet, don't say a word. Because argumentative spirits love to get you to start speaking. They like to provoke you into that argument. Now, sometimes if you find you have a problem with that, that comes up periodically, you may have just brought this over from denominationalism. It's a religious spirit working, you see. And we all have to guard this, we all have to be very, very careful. But of course, the word's absolutely clear about arguing over the word of God. You just don't. You don't argue the word of God. I mean, how awful to argue with God's pure, holy word. Yet you find Christians and non-Christians, religious cults and leaders and even whatever it would be, that they're all trying to debate and argue over the word of God. And the word of God is not to be argued over. It's an offence to the Lord. And if you find yourself starting to argue over this word, you need to repent. Because God never gave you his word to argue over and get aggressive about. That's totally wrong. Yet I have found sometimes, you know, some professing Christians, they're aggressive, they're militant over the word of God. And the way they come over, and it puts people off. Are you in faith? That attitude, or, you know, they're quick to expose or to write people off. God's never called any of us to do that. And I've found often those people are like that, they're hypocrites. Because generally, they're not sound themselves anyway. I mean, we've had to deal with this, and at times it can still come up with a question of the healing. Well, so-and-so's wearing glasses. And that very person that says that recently went to the doctor about something themselves. That's sheer hypocrisy. If you're not in faith over certain areas, and we've said this before and I'll say it again, then you just say that you're not. You just let the body know that you haven't got your act right in a certain area. We're not going to tell you right, leave. But what we do have a problem is when you come over as though you have got it all together. And then suddenly it comes out, or somebody tells you, well, did you know so-and-so? Oh, they went to the doctors the other week. And you think, you say, I can't believe it. They come over as though they're all in faith and, you know, and everything. And yet this goes on. It's wrong, friends. You might be able to pull the cotton wool over our eyes for a season, but you can't with God. He knows all things. And I tell you, when you come over like that, you are religious. You are. You're religious. And you may just have a problem. You may have brought that over in the past. You see? God doesn't call any of us to point the finger. Because you point the finger and God will point two right back at you. Well, judge not that you be judged. Yes, there's a place of righteous judgment, but God will deal with that through the right vessels and through the right time and right ministry. But God calls none of us in this church to judge. And any that judge, you are standing on thin ice, believe me. And I found people who judge are religious, and they often have problems in their own life. And I'll tell you what it is, basically. People who point the finger, what they actually see in that person is really in them. And they don't like it. They don't like it. God's got a wonderful way of bringing that mirror up in front of us, that spiritual mirror. And you see every detail, you see every wrinkle, you see every spot, you see every blemish. That mirror never lies. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, these old denominational spirits, these religious spirits, they can be a nuisance to say the least. They really can. But we've got those at times who just debate and argue about Scripture. And it's pride. They think they've got all the light on it. And I've seen them in the past, you know. And you can see the way they come. They've always generally got a very big Bible sometimes, and it's opened, and they see you, and they're coming over with a scripture. You go, or you suddenly talk to somebody else because they're coming over. You know that they've got light on it, or whatever it is. There's a way they come, very religious, you know. Deliverance, friends. Deliverance. Now, I'm not saying you can't share with the Word, don't get me wrong. There's a way you do it. The Word of God's never done in such a way to put somebody straight. And if there is error or heresy or somebody doesn't see something right, there's a way you do it. You would firstly always pray about it. Seek the Lord, you see. But you need sometimes to be in a position like I've got. You see a lot of this over the years. You really do. But praise God, it's an extra nail in. You humble yourself. And you remain open. After all, I don't know all things. I don't know it all. So God may well just speak and show me something, as sometimes he has, you see. Well, let's take it a step further before we end this week with this. There are spirits that hinder one's time with God, particularly in the area of consecration with prayer and the Word. Now, you know, I touch on that from time to time. But there are actually spirits that are so operative in such a way that they're going to hinder you and stop you from prayer and the Word. They're going to stop you from getting consecrated in that area. Now, sometimes they may be religious spirits. And they may have come over from denominationalism. And the reason I say this is because in the denominational churches, they like to keep you busy. Because there are always 101 jobs to do in denominationalism. There's always something going wrong with the church. Or there's always money that's got to be raised for this or that or whatever it is. Or there's always something going on in denominationalism. And so you find yourself totally absorbed, busy, busy, busy. I know because I was involved in all of that. I was so busy in denomination just before I came out, I didn't even have time to see my family. Got that bad. And so we find that that way of thinking, that mindset, that driving spirit, we still bring over with us. And so we're all the while looking just for something to do, to occupy ourselves, to occupy our minds. And I have to watch myself very carefully in that area. Because, I mean, I could just work 16 hours a day and not sit and think nothing of it. But I know my body needs rest. And I know I can't go on like that. But you find you bring that over and it can be religious. And one of the things that it's doing is, it's stopping you from having a prayer life. It's stopping you from reading the Scriptures. Because if you don't have a prayer life, if you don't read the Word of God, then you open the door to demonic possession and oppression. The way you keep doors closed is by your consecration before God. And I shall cover this right at the end of these teachings. But it's true, friends. And there are spirits that will keep us busy, 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 busy. Busy going nowhere. Doing nothing. Sometimes I've just sat down, I've worked myself, and I've known I should have really just put the kingdom first, and I've sat down and I look at it and I think, what have I achieved? Nothing. Nothing. I've been busy doing nothing. And that's the most frustrating thing. Isn't it awful? When you've been so busy, flogged yourself, and you've got nothing to show for it at the end of the day. That's terrible. And you think to yourself, you know, if you see that pattern working on and off in your life, that may just be a religious spirit that's working, because religious spirits will keep you busy. Because that way you think you're going to make it into the kingdom of God. By all your works, you see. But we can still take that thinking, that mentality of that over with us. And we've got to be balanced. There's a time to work and there's a time to sit. I mean, we are made that way. Nobody can keep working, working, working. You will bear the consequences of it in your body. And of course, I can go completely opposite. I mean, many nowadays work. I mean, they've totally gone the reverse, lazy. So they're lazy spirits, you know, but we'll cover that in another subject. It's just a balance in all of this, but you must be careful. But I'll tell you, people who are very, very busy, that's generally a hindrance to stop them from praying and reading the Word of God. So you need to watch that one and be very, very careful if you see a pattern of this working through your life, you see? Well, as we come to an end, I just want to deal with another area. I want to deal with the area of slogans. Let me give you an example. All you ever hear sometimes when you talk to some Christians, bless you, brother. Bless you, brother. Bless you, brother. As though you haven't got a name. Now, I sometimes call brother, sister, praise the Lord, don't you know? But if that's all you ever hear, there's something wrong. It's religious. Because we have been given names. And a lot of our names are inspired by God. Did you know that? I mean, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to keep calling the Lord brother. And he is my brother. He has many names, our Lord. So we mustn't keep, you know, calling a sister or brother. I was talking to sister the other day, and you're thinking to yourself, now who's that? We've got about 50 of them in there. Now, who are they on about? Sister, sister. Oh, yeah. And at the end of the conversation, you found out who it is. Now, it can be very useful sometimes if you've forgotten the name. Which I have to confess, on one or two occasions, I have forgotten the name. I just, oh, sister, you know, come meet sister, you know. Or brother. But it's not intentional, I can assure you. But sometimes, it's such an extreme that all people are called, all the saints are called, brother and sister, as though we belong to a monastery. Now, there's something wrong with that. They're slogans, you know. Now, I'm going to say another thing as well. We need to be very careful on some words that we use with regards to talking to brothers and sisters or whatever it is. There's nothing wrong occasionally saying, bless you. Or the Lord's blessing upon you. Or you are a blessing. There's nothing wrong with that. You're all a blessing. And sometimes I tell you, you are a blessing. Yeah, I know some have got a problem with it. You can't say that unless you do it in the name of the Lord. Well, I call people a blessing. There are even people out there who aren't saved who are a blessing and have blessed me. I'm not that religious to say they're a blessing or whatever it is. Let's take another step further. Be very wise and careful when you confess the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. You don't keep pleading the blood of Jesus every 5 seconds over everything and everyone. It's wrong. Because that proves there is no power, no anointing. You know? You see, it's religious. It's religious repetition. You just say it. I don't want to just say the name of Jesus, or I don't want to just say the blood of Jesus. Every time I say that, I mean what I say. It comes from the heart. It is said in faith. You don't just say it for repetition. You know, well, someone got knocked off their bike, and somebody's telling you, you know, oh, did you hear brother so-and-so was on his bike and he got knocked off.
Well, praise the Lord.
You know, we can say this. You know, or somebody fell off their chair and hurt their back. Well, praise the Lord. You know, it's as though we're not really listening, but we just say, well, praise the Lord. You know, it's religious. You know, as I said that once, somebody who hurt themselves, I said, oh, praise the Lord. And they looked at me and said, you know, and I suddenly realised what I said. I was just parroting. See? Religious. Now, praise the Lord, they didn't get killed. There's a different thing, you see. But these are slogans. These are things that we just say, repetitious. And sometimes it can be a spirit, a religious spirit, that is behind it, you know? Be very careful, friends. Be careful how you say it. I mean, we're all called praise the Lord and hallelujah fanatics. And I like to praise the Lord and I like to say hallelujah. But I'm not saying it all the time. When I'm talking to people, you know, they're sort of saying, well, I got blessed the other day. Oh, hallelujah. And we went on holiday the other week. Oh, hallelujah. And jumping up. I mean, you know, it's weird. There's a balance in everything. And sometimes if all you're saying is, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and pleading the blood and all this business, it can be religious spirits behind it. Because everything we say, we must know, comes from the heart. Now, if you want to say hallelujah, praise the Lord, I'll join you. If it's doing precisely that. But sometimes it doesn't always. So we need to be careful, friends, these slogans. And if you're really, really held in this area, you seek the Lord. Maybe God's going to deliver you, set you free. You see? I said the Lord was going to really pinpoint a lot of things. He really will. How about, as we close now, there's a final one. Going back to being a member of this church. Well, I'm a member of Full Gospel Assembly. Well, I'll tell you one thing. We certainly can't get proud where numbers are concerned. In the natural, that is. But we are believing the Lord's adding to this church. But I mean, there are lots of other Christians who, if they want to blow their trumpet, I mean, they can. They've got 500 people go to their church, you know. But we can still get very proud over the teaching. We are immensely blessed here. I tell you, I have a godly fear over the blessing we have here. But you know, we can still become idolatrous over the minister, the mouthpiece, the leader, or just listen to that oration coming out, you know? I mean, I've had one sister years ago said to me, I just love to hear you preach. You know, you're a painter. You're painting when you're talking. The colours that come out, the tonal values and everything. And I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, I've never heard this before, you know? But it'd been very easy, being an artist as well, to think, well, perhaps there's a bit of truth in what she says, you know? It'd have been very easy. You know, you can feel that old flesh being puffed up. You can almost feel as if you get inflated, you know? But we need to be very careful, you know? We need to be careful how we come over. Oh, yes, I'm all for having respect for the leaders. But you know, we've got to watch these idolatrous spirits because they come right out of Catholicism, the lot, you name it, idolatrous spirits. I mean, the priesthood in denominations are idolized. And that's idolatry and it's religious spirits. And I'll tell you what, the world outside there hates it because they see it loud and clear. They can see it, friends. And so we need to be very, very balanced. Very, very balanced. I'm not going to spend much time on that because I've covered that a lot in the past. Well, we'll leave it there for this week. I know a lot has come out. We always say these things because we care, we love you, and we want you to be balanced and to get it right with God. But I think at times we don't always realize just what we've come out from and what God is actually just doing, you know? But the other thing that I say is that where deliverance is concerned, we always have to be in God's right timing. Some of these things you may have heard of before, but this time you suddenly felt, God's going to deliver me. Or I feel this is the day. that God is going to do it. Yet maybe you might have possibly taken yourself through deliverance years back, but you just weren't in that place. You weren't in faith. Or some overzealous person couldn't wait to slap hands on you. Or whatever. I'm just saying, be open. If you haven't got a problem, praise the Lord. Because not everyone's got to have their name and address on all that comes out. But if you have, you seek God. And if you really are gripped, or you really got a real problem, or you just can't handle that, we will help. We'll pray. It's no problem. But we've experienced that a lot of deliverance just comes in your seat where you're sitting, as God just exposes it. That's the blessing of all of this. Praise the Lord. Let's just ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we thank you this morning for blessing us, enriching us with your word. And Father, we're getting such an understanding of you. We've had such a religious view of you in the past. We've been taught so badly. But Lord, you're setting us free. And Lord, one of the things that I realize through this is you're setting us free to be ourselves in you. We don't have to be anything or anyone. You accepted us the way we are, with the sin and the grime and the filth and the blemishes, and yet you've covered us by your precious blood. And Lord, that's what we can rejoice in here this morning, that you receive us as we are. So Lord, cause us not to be pretentious, to be religious, to be something that we're not. Let us come over as balanced brothers and sisters in Christ. And I thank you, Lord, for the healing and deliverance that is coming through these teachings. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God.
And Jesus is